Our readings from the book of Ruth and Mark's gospel both contain widows and examples of steadfast love and God's abundant grace seen through the lives of people, people just like you and me. Both readings are really about relationships, how we understand them, what our actions based on our understanding means for us, for others, for God. As well, contributing to my sermon today is our abundant joy in baptizing Everly and welcoming back her family for this wonderful celebration. Though they live in Rockville, Maryland now, Holy Comforter remains an important point of contact with God for you, an important part of your faith journey, and we're delighted to be the community that welcomes Everly into the life of grace, into the fellowship of the church, as her Christian journey officially begins today. As we consider the theme of abundance, we proclaim that baptism is God's gift to us. Baptism is God's way of showering abundant love upon us, and that through our decision to be baptized and to have our children baptized, we are responding to God's abundant love. By making this commitment, by embracing God's desire for covenant relationship with us. The book of Ruth tells the story of Naomi and her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. To review, to get us to today's part of the reading of the book, as the story begins, there's a famine in Judah. Ruth and her husband, actually Naomi and her husband and her two sons go to Moab to escape the famine. And there, Naomi's husband dies. Her two sons marry, but 10 years later, the sons die. The three widows are left to take care of themselves. The situation of being without husbands was a disaster, with little hope of being able to maintain life on their own. In ancient times, this was always the case, and of course, can still be today for anyone. But just this week in the Wall Street Journal, I was fascinated to read an article about war widows in Afghanistan. And as I read the article and looked at the gripping pictures, I was reminded of Naomi and Ruth and how things have not changed much for some women in our world. Naomi tells Orpah and Ruth to leave her, that they should leave and go find husbands. In loving them, she tells them this. She was willing to let them go. She was willing to be alone. Basically, she was willing to die rather than bring them down with her. Orpah goes, which was the right thing to do, the expected and respected thing to do. But as the Bible tells us, Ruth does the unexpected thing, the foolish thing. Ruth clings to Naomi and says, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." So remember that as a Moabite, Ruth was not Jewish, but she had lived with Naomi and her sons, and one being her husband, for 10 years. And she'd learned about God and about God's story. And in this story, Ruth, a Gentile, is held up as an example of what steadfast love looks like. steadfast love that demonstrates to the world what God's love is like, how God is steadfast. And we see that in this story and in our lives, right? In certain people. When certain people make that sacrifice for us, when certain people go out of their way to be there for us. So Ruth is the unlikely hero of the story. And as we come to the end of the story, what we've heard today, we see how she becomes central to God's story in the world with God's chosen people. Ruth and Boaz marry. Naomi is saved through this, and God's salvation history moves forward. The son from the marriage of Ruth and Boaz, as we heard, Obed, will be the grandfather of King David. Ruth's steadfast faithfulness to Naomi, a woman not of her tribe, allows God to work in and through her life. God at work through people, miracles of trust and connection, but not superhuman. Human miracles with God's help, not a burning bush, but God showed Ruth the way through her feelings, through her relationships, and she followed. It is so important to know this way of God acting through people, through us. Last week, we focused on Jesus and the raising of Lazarus. The story of Ruth and Naomi is also about bringing life from death, and in a way that is more familiar to us, through inspired human faithfulness and devotion. In God's story of God's people, into this story, today we baptize Everly. And through her baptism, she will be united with God in this ongoing story of salvation through Christ. How fitting that we have a biblical account of strong, faithful women today. On this day, as Everly is baptized, to be led herself as she grows by the Holy Spirit to be strong and faithful in life's adventure with God. The story of Ruth shows us that God has a role for each of us. Every person, we are God's beloved children, chosen by God to live and to share ourselves in ways that make a difference in the world. And we do that just by being who God's created us to be. Through baptism, we are all connected with Ruth and Naomi and Boaz and King David. All because God came to us in Jesus, inviting us all to be part of the story. As I say the prayer over the water today, you'll hear that great sweep of history, God's story, all leading up to this moment, to bring us here today to Everly's baptism and this day in each of our lives. Baptism is about God's abundance, the abundance of God's love and God's desire for close connection with everyone, enabling us to be people of covenant. Baptism makes us all part of God's salvation history. And baptism also unites Everly and all of us who've been baptized to each other in one community, one family. See these echoes, these connections with the book of Ruth? We've come together as one family, like Ruth, who was not born in the right family, really, to be a heroine of Judaism. That's not what was supposed to happen. Well, none of us were born as Christians. We, or our parents for us, decided to welcome this invitation from God to share in God's abundant love through baptism, to make our covenant with God, to acknowledge through what we promise in our baptismal vows that our relationship with God and with each other and our fellow human beings, that all this relationship and connectedness is at the core of our lives and our faith. And isn't that from one way of looking at it, isn't that what the poor widow in Mark's gospel is about? By her great act of devotion, she puts in all that she has. She is all in, because relationship with God is everything. You heard from our treasurer earlier, we're in this time of pledging, and I want to be clear that our church is not asking us to give everything we have. In fact, some commentaries, some ways of analyzing this gospel reading, call into question whether Jesus is at all pleased, actually, that she's giving everything she had to live on. He holds her up as a person of virtue, but maybe that wasn't what Jesus wanted for her exactly. So I'm not asking you to give everything, but we are being challenged by this gospel reading to consider how we respond to God's abundance, to God's abundant love in calling us all to be family together. In this reading, Jesus says that others gave out of their abundance, but did they even know that they had abundance? Were they even feeling that, or were they feeling hesitant to give what they did? I have a feeling that they did not see themselves as having abundant wealth. I think they didn't know what sort of freedom they really had to do a lot for God, for God's mission in the world. The widow had more freedom than the rich because the widow had a sense of her role, her place, her part in God's abundance, and she gave out of that sense of God's abundance in which we share. The widow had more respect in the eyes of Jesus than did all the scribes in the long robes, right? Who said long prayers and walked about seeking people's respect. It can be hard for us to remember that by holding up this widow as virtuous, Jesus was shocking his listeners. Jesus brought everyone together and respected the dignity of all, which is, of course, one of our baptismal promises we will make and renew today. Baptism, our life in Christ, which baptism is such a big part of, but our life in Christ is the great equalizer. It's the equalizer, and yet it holds each person as precious to God. It's a fascinating dynamic there. All are welcome to the transformative waters of baptism, and through baptism we become brothers and sisters in Christ, equals, regardless of how much money we have, regardless of our race, or our gender identity, or our sexual orientation. We are all equal. And our greatness, Everly's greatness, comes from her relationship with God. God's abundant love has been at work in our world since the moment of creation, at work in many ways, through many people and situations. How can we claim this as our birthright through baptism? How can we open ourselves to the possibilities that exist when we know God's abundance in our lives and when we live out of that rather than living from fear or a sense of scarcity? May Everly's baptism give us all a renewed sense of God's abundant love and a sense of God's salvation. Amen.